What's the story you're telling yourself? And how do you talk to yourself? Because a lot of times, especially if you don't have 50 plus pounds to lose, right? If we're just talking, I just want to see some body composition changes in my body. If you're stepping on the scale every day, and then that's determining how you treat yourself the rest of the day because of it, and you're not seeing progress because the scale's not shifting, your body may actually be progressing and seeing some shifting, but you're focused on the wrong areas of progress. You're not looking at the things that you should be, or you're so used to beating yourself up that seeing a success or seeing a win, you're going to immediately find a reason that it's not a win or not a success.
Welcome to the Seek First CEO podcast, a community for high-achieving kingdom women committed to seeking God first and keeping God first in all we do. If you believe you're called to impact the world through your gifts, then you're in the right place. Hi, friend. I'm Heather, teacher turned speaker and your host of the Seek First CEO podcast. I'm passionate about helping ambitious, servant-hearted women find their worth in whose they are, not what they do. As a certified master neuroscience life coach, I help you connect the dots between biblical principles and brain science so you can take your thoughts captive and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't do surface, so we go deep here, and we talk about the stuff underneath the surface because I want to help you get to the source of your heart set and mindset roadblocks so you can have breakthrough by aligning your heart and mind with biblical truths. If your heart's desire is to grow in your relationship with Jesus while fearlessly fulfilling your purpose and calling, then let's open up the Word together and see what the Holy Spirit has to say about living your life in flow with Him. Are you ready? Then get excited for today's episode. Hello, sister friend. I have a treat for you today. My friend Brooke Rozzi is on the podcast today, and we are going to talk about something that we have not really ever talked about on the show, I don't think. We're going to get deep into our health, nutrition, fitness, all the things that is really required to be a successful entrepreneur. So Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I got started in the entrepreneur space as a online like health and fitness coach, did network marketing and kind of dabbled my feet in that. But you have totally taken that way further. You are a functional nutritionist. You're a trainer. You've got all these things in your background. So I am so excited to have this conversation today because once I learned about you and what you do, I'm like, I need you in my life. So I am sure our listeners need you as well. So why don't you just tell the woman listening to this a little bit about you, your background, and catch us up to speed with like, yeah, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, I'm a functional nutritionist. I did not start as a functional nutritionist. I actually started in the field 18 years ago as a personal trainer. In that stage, I was, you know, like most young 20-something-year-olds, I cared about how I looked in the bathing suit. And I grew up in what I call Snackwell's generation, which, you know, my food was, thought process was really, is this going to make me fat or skinny, basically, when I was choosing food. And I was either, you know, eating healthy or I wasn't. And I was like, you know, all off. And I didn't realize that I didn't really have healthy eating patterns because every other girl my age was having the same thought process and approach. Until about midway through my career, I had nagging symptoms like every other female. You know, I had PMS symptoms that weren't so extreme that they weren't unbearable, but they were enough that they were noticeable. Midway through my career, my dad passed away suddenly from cancer. And at the same time, I went through a pretty traumatic breakup. And it felt like my body just went haywire. Everything tanked. My hormones were off. I had gained like 20 pounds in a 4-month period of time without really any explanation. I was already eating pretty decent, working out consistently. So it was really, really a tough period of time for me because I was going to physicians and asking, you know, like something is wrong. And everyone was telling me that I was fine, but I did not feel fine. I wasn't sleeping well. I was anxious. And it led me down the path of finally finding a functional practitioner. And I was actually diagnosed with clinical hypothyroidism. I wasn't tested fully from my regular physician. And for the first time, I started to feel a little hopeful. And like, I finally had some answers for what was going on in my body. But that led me to start asking, like, why is nobody else telling me this? I had to go through 3 different physicians to find this out. And no one was talking to me about all the other things that had to come into play. And after, at that point, 8 years of being a trainer, I had no idea of all the things that were in play with my hormones and all of that. Soon after that, my husband and I met, and after we got married, we wanted to start having a baby, and there was this whole host of conversation around hormones that I never had. I didn't know what ovulation was. I didn't know how to track my cycle. If I went to my physician and they said, like, how long was your last cycle? I didn't know that 28 days was the answer. I thought it was like 5 or 6, so I was just tracking my period. So I started realizing, oh my gosh, like if I'm in health in some way and I don't know any of this, how many of my clients feel the exact same? So it led me to go back to school, and I went through a 2-year functional nutrition program. I did a few other certifications outside of that too. And I started seeing a lot of the things that I was experiencing in my own body with my clients. And I was starting to piece together all these different pieces that were really coming into play. And working through that for myself and finally finding healing in my own body, it really led me to, I want other women to be able to feel this way too, because I was starting to see messages as a mom of, you know, you're just going to live off of caffeine and then you're going to drink wine at night. And this is just the way that we're going to live with motherhood. And it honestly made me angry because I was like, if this is motherhood, then like, I can't believe that that's it, right? Like, that's not what God designed us to do and the way to feel. And where's the purpose in that? So it really just kind of led me down the way that we work with women now, which is your health is more than just your physical body, although that plays a massive role. Your health is also the way that you think, the way that you nourish yourself, the way that you move your body, the emotions and the way that we go about our day to day. And we really pull it all together for our clients, because to us, it really, you know, when you feel your best in your skin, I feel like you're able to live out the purpose that you were designed to the absolute best too.
Yeah, I love that so much. And yeah, man, that toxic like mommy culture, it's mm-hmm. like, ah, got you. You signed up for this thing that you thought was going to change your life in the best way. Now you are barely surviving. And I love that you're changing that narrative for people, but from an actual, not just this like fluffy idea, but literally like there are things going on. And so many things that you said, I'm like, oh, that's me. Oh, that was yes. The snack wells, you know, the 100-calorie. Input, output, got to burn it off, all of that stuff. So I can only imagine that, yes, everyone listening is like, yes. So I know you have such a unique approach to fitness and nutrition, and specifically working with women and yeah. you love like helping moms because you live this life. So yeah. once you kind of got to the root of things, this is me partially asking for myself. Like, yeah. I feel like it can be a little overwhelming.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that journey. Like, how did you, cause it's not like you knew a ton of stuff. So it wasn't yeah. like coming in from no knowledge, but how do you approach this in a way that you're not so overwhelmed that you give up?
Yeah. Yeah. It can be very overwhelming. I always say like, you can't try to go, let me back up. The best way I tell clients is, I'm at step 50. I did not start at step 50. I started at step 2, right? And a lot of times we can say like, well, I want to be at step 50. So we're at step 2, but we're wanting to jump up to step 50. And I'm like, that's when it feels wildly overwhelming, because there are a whole lot of steps and processes that you need to learn about yourself and master and become consistent with before you're at step 50. So when you're working, we'll have clients come in and be like, well, I can't live the way you live. And I'm like, well, eventually you can, but right now, yes, correct. This would be very overwhelming for you and not the way that you are expected to do things. You want to start foundationally and start simply. It's really, you know, kind of like what you talk about, right? When we're looking at overriding the stories you tell yourself, looking at the way that you do things, start with your lifestyle. Start with one simple spot. Look at, how do I wake up in the morning and am I grabbing my phone first thing? Let me set my phone down, and maybe instead of spending 10 minutes on my phone, I can spend 10 minutes prepping a meal that's going to nourish me and make me feel really good. And if that's all I focus on this week, then fantastic. That's a win. You're moving in a good direction. Coming back to that Snackwells generation, we sometimes start with this thought process of, I have to do it all, and I have to do it all perfectly, or I'm failing and I'm not going to do any of it. So you really have to, you know, like you talk about, hold the mirror up to yourself of like, why am I putting this level of expectation on myself to be perfect? Because it's literally at the end of the day, a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. And you cannot change your entire life overnight. You've got to take it in layers and steps and processes. I started with prioritizing super simple things with my routine. My relationship with food and my health and my body has evolved over an 18 period of time. So if you look at it as I have the rest of my life to make these small shifts and changes, I don't have to have it all mastered right now. I can take one step today that's going to make me feel better tomorrow. And then tomorrow I'll take another step that's going to make me feel better the next day. And if you do those small shifts, then you're going to look back 5 years from now and you're going to be like, wow, look at everything that I have shifted in that time frame.
I love that. Yes, because my typical client is all or nothing.
Yeah.
Is black and white. She is tends to be a perfectionist. If she can't do it perfect, she doesn't want to do it at all because failure is terrifying to her. So I love that what you just said. I have the rest of my life to make small incremental changes over time. And it's just like we know the stuff from text, you know, the books will say like small changes over time yield big results. And it's still, it applies to business, but it applies to our health. So that's encouraging for me. Okay. So a hot topic that I think is pretty hot now, even on, at least in my newsfeed, probably because I'm looking up the stuff, but let's talk a little bit about cortisol and like how that impacts women.
Yeah. Cortisol gets a bad rap. It's not a bad hormone. It's actually an essential hormone. And this kind of goes into what we just talked about with the all in or all out mindset and approach. I usually tell my clients, because similar, I have clients and I'm the same personality where, right, you're an achiever personality. You like to do everything well. And that's not a bad thing. But I usually tell my clients what makes you successful in your business or your career is going to be what's detrimental to you in your health. And you need to learn that balance between those things of when do I apply this and when do I pull it back? And cortisol is a direct reflection of the way that we live our life and we do things. Cortisol essentially is your stress response. It's your stress hormone. Every time that you have, you know, something, cortisol is going to respond. Cortisol through the day should be higher in the morning because it actually is what wakes you up in the morning. And it should gradually decrease at night. And in exchange, you can start to see that melatonin come in the evening with that exchange of cortisol to help support quality of sleep. Now, your cortisol rhythm is going to shift day by day. So we do adrenal testing, but for very different reasons. When we're working with someone, you can't look at an adrenal test and think that that's what's happening with your body day in and day out. You actually need to judge by how is my body actually processing and using this cortisol? Am I in a chronic state of stress? Meaning like I've been living in this go, go, go attitude for a long period of time to the point that my body's like, hands up, like surrendering and like, I can't keep up with you anymore. You have not given me any rest. A lot of this can come back to your brain, your pituitary hormone, your nervous system regulation, and how those things can really come into play to helping to support. I tell our clients all the time, I'm like, if Jesus needed to retreat to do some restorative time, so do you. Mm-hmm. And you need to keep in mind that you were not designed to go 24/7 like we try to live in society. So you have to strategically put restorative time in your day. A good sign to tell that your cortisol may be an issue or the way that you handle stress may be an issue is if you can't sit down for 20 minutes and do absolutely nothing and be still. That's a really good sign.
Okay, you just called me out. Oh, yes. Okay, so for the woman, I'm just putting myself on blast for all of you. For the woman who really struggles with that. Now, listen, I can slow down like if I have something to do, whether it's like journaling or reading a book. Even that, you know, that I like to give myself an hour of quiet time in the morning. But for me to sit and do absolutely nothing, like watching TV is a struggle for me. I've never liked to watch TV. So when my kids want to watch a movie, man, does I really have to choose, like, this is family time. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. But how do you help me, Brooke? Help me and my friends who are listening, who are like, yep, that's me. The person who really struggles with sitting for 20 minutes and doing nothing.
Yeah. You got to start. I like what you said about journaling, right? Sometimes it's okay to start with having an action to do in that time and schedule that time. You essentially need to train your brain, right? So if I'm not used to doing nothing, then I am going to schedule time for me to go take a salt bath and I'm going to put my phone away and maybe I'll read a book when I'm in there, but something that's going to slow me down a little bit. if I'm not used to it, then I'm going to schedule time to sit and journal. And it's something that's going to slow me down, remove distraction, or I'm going to schedule time to go take a walk in nature and leave my phone at home. So the best way to start is to just train your body and your brain to slow down. When you are so used to being on the go all the time, the idea of slowing down feels unsafe. And it feels wildly uncomfortable. And you will struggle to do that. So you have to train yourself that slowing down is safe and it's okay. Because even if it's not a healthy thing for you, if you're so used to doing it, it's become the norm. Your body has become adapted to that. So you need to essentially reteach your body to become adapted to something else instead. So give yourself time. I still struggle with sitting and doing nothing, but I'm easing myself into that. And it's going to take a little bit of a process. And don't put a pressure on yourself of how long that process needs to look like either, because the next question sometimes is, well, how long do I need to do that for? And when should I? And like, that's the thought process that's getting you in trouble, right? Coming back in. So start, and then you're going to start to feel when you're ready to make a transition into something different.
That's so good. And I think about, you know, we talk a lot about fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and those are our responses. So one of the biggest revelations that I had was that all of my success was really driven from my fight response.
Yeah.
I can see the correlation even with my health, that that's directly impacting that it never stop, go, go, go. Right. And so from a, you know, and sometimes, like you said, those characteristics can really help us, can yield
yeah.
stuff. And they can be the thing, I love that you said that. That's such a revelation for me, is that could be the very thing that's impacting the opposite. Now, for someone like me, I've been working out for, you know, for as long as I can, you know, remember, is at least, yeah. Actually, I didn't really start really consistently working out until I got pregnant, because I was like, holy moly, I gained 60 pounds. Like, we can't live like this. So someone who like works out regularly, who is conscious, we're not like eating at McDonald's every day, those types of things. But they're not where they want to be, or they're not seeing progress. Like, what would you tell? And I'm sure this is a lot of the women that come to you, right? It's like, we're doing yeah. all the things, but I'm not seeing the results. Where yeah. would you tell them to start?
If you feel like you're doing all the things and you're not seeing the result, there's a few places that we want to look in our body or kind of assess. One of the biggest places can be that there is something deeper going on in your body. There could be something from a hormonal standpoint or a gut standpoint or something like that happening. So that's where testing can be wildly beneficial, because it can give us clarity as to why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. And a lot of times when we do testing from a functional standpoint, it's not going to be testing that you're going to go get at your physician, unfortunately, because it's going to be more in depth. It's not diagnostic. We're really looking at overall, how is the body functioning from an optimal standpoint. So that can be one place to look. The other thing is, this is the toughest part, is we never want to admit that we're, you know, not as consistent as we think we are, but sometimes we have to just honestly, at the simplest, assess consistency. Am I really as consistent as I believe I am? Or I don't love tracking long-term, but this is where tracking can be powerful, because we can really see like, oh, I didn't realize every day at 3 o'clock I've been grabbing that thing and been eating it, right? And not being mindful around my food intake. Tracking can really bring in the mindfulness that we are thinking we have, but we don't. So it can really be storytelling in that standpoint. And sometimes making small little tweaks there can make a wild difference. One of the biggest things too is, what's the story you're telling yourself? And how do you talk to yourself? Because a lot of times, especially if you don't have 50 plus pounds to lose, right? If we're just talking, I just want to see some body composition changes in my body. If you're stepping on the scale every day, and then that's determining how you treat yourself the rest of the day because of it, and you're not seeing progress because the scale's not shifting, your body may actually be progressing and seeing some shifting, but you're focused on the wrong areas of progress. You're not looking at the things that you should be, or you're so used to beating yourself up that seeing a success or seeing a win, you're going to immediately find a reason that it's not a win or not a success. I had someone check in with me last week, and she's been with me for like 2 to 3 weeks. And she's like, digestion is improving and this is going in a good direction, but I'm not smaller yet. And I was like, hold on a second. It's been 2 weeks and you're already telling me you have these wins, but you're so used to telling yourself what's not going well that the next thing out of your mouth is what's not going well. So yes, we might need to dig deeper. It might be consistency, but you also may need to work on that relationship with yourself too.
Yeah, it's that negative bias that we all carry. We want to focus yes. on the negative thing because we want to avoid it, right? And we just yes. want to fix it. So yes, I'm feeling so called out. And another thing that the women that I work with really have a hard time celebrating. And again, it's just so funny. And when I met Brooke, I was like, oh, we are so similar. Like you do with nutrition, what I do with business and mindset. Yeah. And man, sometimes the very thing that we need is what we help people with. So it's so cool. Yeah. But I know for me, it is hard to celebrate. And so even yeah. seeing those small wins of, yeah, this went well, right? And I literally was doing a story today about what you focus on grows. Yeah. We use those things so often in, you know, I'm so used to talking about business, right? But this is really fun for me to have this conversation to be, okay, how can I apply what I know about mindset and business to health?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, the other hot topic you mentioned a couple of different things. I feel like the topics are like cortisol, gut health, nervous system regulation. At least this is my newsfeed and I don't know if it's other people's, but what can you touch on this nervous system regulation and how that actually impacts our health?
Yeah. You know, we say nervous system regulation. I also correlate this a lot to spiritual health, right? Like the Holy Spirit in you. And just the best way I always describe it to people is when you just have that innate sense of peace, right? Everything around you can be falling apart or not great, but like you just have the sense of peace despite it. That is when you know, one, your nervous system is moving in a good direction. And you're not living in this constant state of overdrive. But also that's where your faith wildly comes into play and can play a huge role in how your body also responds. I lived in this state a lot last year where I was just living in sympathetic overdrive. Every little stressful event that would come up, I would have a reaction to it, send me into anxiety. I was like, my old business coach would joke, she's like, get out of your spreadsheets. Cause I'd like be in my spreadsheets, like calculating everything out and moving it around. And I just did not have this deeper sense of peace and faith that I needed. And as soon as you start to really work through that, you can start to tell, you know what, everything is still not perfect and it's never going to be perfect, but I have a deeper faith and trust that things are going to move in a good direction and are going to be okay. So that's how that can come into play. But your nervous system, you know, you have parasympathetic and you have your sympathetic. And God designed us to respond to stress really well and to have an innate nature and innate way of responding to stress. The way that we live in today's society overrides a lot of that way that we were originally designed to respond to stress. What you should be able to do is you should be able to have a stressful event. Your body goes into that fight or flight, you respond to it, and then you come back into that parasympathetic. Parasympathetic is essentially your rest and digest state. This is where your gut function stays in a good spot, which ultimately means your hormonal function stays in a good spot. But so many of us today are living in sympathetic overdrive. We are just responding and responding and responding all day, which actually eventually turns into us reacting all day because we don't have that ability to step back and restore, right? And go into what and go into the healthy response that we need to have. So ways that you can bring that back online essentially is one, I mean, prayer is massive. We undervalue how much that can play a role, but it's huge. Just sitting and I say, take a prayer walk, spend time with God, like get in nature, journal it out, write to God on a journal, whatever you have to do to start to pull yourself back into that state and become aware of why you're reacting or responding the way that you are. But then simple things through the day, breath work is huge. Small little breaths in through your nose, hold it, let it go, and just start to cue that vagal nerve that runs from your brain all the way through to your gut, helps cue you into that parasympathetic state. None of my clients love this one, but hot, cold contrast, like doing cold therapy and then getting into hot back and forth can cue that too. Even, you know, simple things like meditation, which sounds simple, but it's really not. It's hard to do, but just laying still and focusing on small, slow breaths and allowing yourself to just kind of process when you're in that are huge ways you can pull yourself back into that state. And doing, and the good thing about that is it doesn't require an hour-long process. You can do that every 2 minutes for every couple hours through the day.
I love that. Yeah. So let's so Brooke and I are in a mastermind together. And we actually got to cold plunge when we were in California like a month ago. And that was my first time to do that. And that's also a hot thing that I see a lot of people doing. But can you maybe just like touch on why that hot cold? Like what is that doing for us?
Yeah. So when you're in a really, you know, when you're going into that cold water, your body's, if you've ever done it, you know the response. So your response is like to go into shock almost, right? And so when you're going into it and you have to focus on that breathing when you're in there, there's, you know, breathing techniques you can do. It's teaching your body to calm when you're in that state. The temperature of the water doesn't change when you're staying in there, but your breath is what brings you back into that calm state. So essentially, at the simplest, we're teaching your body to respond to stress when you're in there. So when you go into a quick stress, you breathe yourself through it, you're training your body and your brain to respond, and you're coming out of it. So you're essentially putting yourself into an environment where your brain perceives this is not safe, this is not good, and then you're innately calming yourself down and teaching yourself like, no, I am safe, I'm okay, I'm fine. And then you're retraining that essentially. So that's one of the biggest benefits out of it. There's a lot of other metabolic benefits. It targets, you know, what you're here called brown fat, which is more of the toxic fat essentially that, you know, we have. And it actually does help target it. But I tell my clients, I'm like, it's not your weight loss solution, but it is beneficial to helping metabolically. You do get, when you're coming out of it, if you don't go into heat and you let your body naturally rise and build that heat back up, you actually do get a little bit of a metabolic boost in that time because your body has to produce more energy to warm yourself back up. So some of the most common benefits that you'll see people use it for.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Yes. And it was like,
yeah,
you really had to like catch yourself. So if you've not done a cold plunge, go do it. It's try it. At least try it once. You do that regularly, don't you?
Yeah, we have a cold plunge at our house. So I'll do it a couple times a week. My husband does it like almost every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling my husband about our experience and then he was telling me all the things about it. So I love that. Okay. So I wrote this down because I'm like, you know, I think as moms, as you're an entrepreneur too, right? You've got this business and this thought of like doing it all, like how do you do it all? What are your some tips to how are you being a successful wife, a successful mom, a successful entrepreneur from a really practical perspective?
Yeah. I love that question. I'm not doing it all. That's the best answer I can tell people is like, I am failing on a daily basis, you know, in different things, but prioritizing and really assessing like what needs to take place, what do I have capacity for, and what matters most is ultimately where I am. I say no to a lot of things. And that was in the beginning, the biggest muscle I had to learn to flex was like how to say no and be okay with it. Because in the beginning, it was a lot of like, you know, FOMO, as we'll say, right? Like missing out on things. But I had to really be okay with like, well, no, my time home with my kids matters to me at this time of day. And I really had to hold boundaries of like, all right, I know there's networking events every single night of the week, basically, but I'm only going to commit to one. And I have to prioritize which one is going to be the most beneficial and what I need to be part of. And going to church on a Sunday is an absolute yes for my family, right? And us doing those things together. So you really have to start to prioritize what matters most in my schedule and where are the things that I need to outsource and get support with. I have a business manager behind the scenes who helps with a ton of stuff. I have somebody else on my team who helps with a ton of stuff. That's not the way I started, but as we grew, I had to sacrifice certain areas to get other help to come in to help build certain things. My husband and I tag team a lot. I think one of the biggest things from a family perspective is I really had to shift that just because I'm the mom does not mean that I am the main caretaker. My husband is also here to support. He is also
Hey, wait, parent. Say that again. Say that.
Yeah, just because I'm the mom doesn't mean I'm the main caretaker. And this is where I don't struggle with it, but I still run into other moms and comments of, you know, well, I'm the default person who gets called. I'm the default person who gets the messages and the invites and all those. And And it is what it is, but my husband and I tag team a lot of things, and that took work. It took a lot of conversation. It took a lot of weekly sitting down. Here's all the things on my plate. What are the things on yours? And asking for where I really needed support and help and telling him, like, I know it doesn't physically look like I'm doing a lot, but I am mentally handling a lot right now. And here's some things I need you to take off my plate. And then the second hardest part of that is not micromanaging the way that they take it off your plate too, right? Letting them actually do it their way. Yeah. So I think that's honestly probably one of the biggest things that helps me go is him and letting him come in and help and not feeling guilt because he's showing up as the other 50% parent too.
Yeah, that's so good. And I don't know if you see this a lot. I see this, you know, I think I used to see this a lot when I was in network marketing, that there were a lot of very unsupportive spouses that weren't willing to kind of do it together. Right. I don't know. Do you see that a lot in the nutrition side? Cause I will say, I mean, my husband and I just started implementing like sitting down on Sundays and writing out a meal plan and at least just getting on the same page with, hey, on Wednesday, all of our kids have sports. So let's do this for dinner. But we didn't always do that. And so I've definitely seen some progress there for us. But yeah, do you see that a lot with your...
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I guess that's what I'm thinking of, that woman, because I think you and I are very blessed. Yeah. We have husbands who are super supportive and we do communicate really well and we're willing to. What would you say to the woman who perhaps like just doesn't have that level of support from her husband, but she really wants to start feeling better and taking care of herself so that she can do the things that God wants her to do?
Yeah. I love that question because I think that is a reality for a lot too. And there's been times in our marriage where I didn't feel like I had the level of support, but in actuality I did. He just didn't know how I needed the support. So that's one thing I would explore is they may not understand why this matters to you, because especially when we're talking health, this is not anything to feel guilt or shame for, but if they have seen you do multiple diets over a period of time, they may struggle with understanding why this part matters to you. So sometimes it's really important to explain the deeper reasons beyond a scale that you want to do something and saying, you know, it's impacting the way I feel confident in my relationship with you or me being able to show up as the mom I want to show up or getting on the floor to play with the kids, right? And really explain to them, and that can be very vulnerable, but explaining why this is impacting you beyond just a scale, because sometimes that's how they view it and they don't totally know what's going on behind the scenes for you. So I think that's one piece to explain. But the book I really love that's helped our marriage a lot, it's called Boundaries in Marriage. And it's really good. It's a faith-driven, perspective and really gets into like, my responsibility is within my boundary, right? Your responsibility is within your own. And I am responsible for my thoughts, behaviors, actions, you know, feelings, et cetera. And you are responsible for yours, but your thoughts and behaviors and actions about what I want to do for my body cannot dictate the choices that I make for myself and choosing healthier options. And that might cause friction. And I think that's sometimes the part where we stop taking care of ourselves, but sometimes we do need to advocate and be okay with a little bit of friction being caused if you're doing it in the right reasons and for the right purpose, right? And then continue to work on that communication. Sometimes therapy is an amazing thing to go to if you need it.
Yes.
So I really think, you know, focus on yourself and what you're responsible for, and you do what you can with where you're at. And maybe we don't put that on the other person. And sometimes we let those actions do our talking first if we need to.
So good. Yeah. I just love you. You're so down to earth and you're so knowledgeable. So I would love, where can our listeners, where can they find you, and what do you offer for support?
Yeah. We have a group coaching realm, which is for someone who really just needs to start to get involved and really needs to start taking action, but is feeling overwhelmed with the steps and processes that they need to go. It's the perfect spot to begin. So you can start there with us. It's also a lower cost point. We really want to make functional health as available to people as we can. So it's a great place to start. If you feel like you've already been taking action and you're like, no, I need something deeper, then one-on-one is the next place to go. And we can have a conversation about the best way to work with us one-on-one. And that is where we bring deeper testing in for clients as well when we're working in a one-on-one basis. So Instagrams, I'm there way more than I probably should be. So you can message me there. It's at Brooke Razzi. My email is hello@brookerazzi.com. Reaching out to me at either place. And you can just mention that you found me on the podcast and we can have a conversation to start.
Yeah, we'll link all those things in the show notes for you. Go follow her on Instagram. She's got great content. Again, like, she is my girl, except she is speaking right to me. So if you and I resonate, you're going to totally resonate with her as well. Brooke, thank you so much. Is there any like last minute little just encouragement that you know that you're the women you serve typically need that you'd love to just wrap this up with?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I tell women, right, is like, God didn't design you to feel overwhelmed and chaotic and not good in your skin. And the more that I have learned about our body and I've gone to school and all those things, the more I've just been in awe of how like amazing God designed a woman's body. And that's what makes me so passionate about it. And I just want women to feel like that about themselves. And I always say, and whenever I have clients struggling with themselves and how they feel, I'm like, I need you to view yourself the way that God would view you. And would God talk to you the way that you're talking to yourself? So you really need to remember that you are worth feeling really good in your skin, and your family and everyone is going to benefit from you too.
So good. So good. Yes and amen. Yes. Brooke, thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to see the women who, yeah, follow you and connect with you. I know, I already told her, I was like, we're working together this year. I have so much on my plate right now. Go work together. So go follow Brooke and go check her out. And thank you again for being here and sharing all of your wisdom.
Thank you.